This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
And I'm Anna.
And this is Seriously, the pop culture podcast from The New Statesman.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Seriously. Caroline, we're just chatting before we started recording about how autumn's coming, which in the pop culture world is quite a big deal. All the good TV shows start coming out, all the movies that have been screening at these sort of prestigious film festivals are getting closer to their release dates. There's all the great books coming out. We love that Zadie Smith and Ali Smith have both got new books coming out. And it just feels like a great back-to-school vibe, doesn't it?
It really does. And I have no idea if this is why it actually works like this, but I have long believed that the reason why all the good stuff is clustered in the autumn is because people don't bother releasing things while they know everyone's outside.
Yeah, I genuinely think that is it. They know that people aren't necessarily going to go and watch 10 hours of one. I mean, people do. People did with Stranger Things, but I do think that that is part of it, definitely. Summer holidays as well.
People go away, like, if you're a family with kids or whatever, you're kind of term time routine where you might have free time after 8:30 to watch TV or whatever. It gets disrupted because kids are on holiday and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, listeners in the Southern Hemisphere who are experiencing the opposite of what we're having. You know, I'm getting really excited about maybe buying some new brown shoes and possibly it being a bit cold when I walk to work.
Yeah, the prospect of a higher dernier hangs in the distance.
Oh, I'm so excited about tights.
Yeah, so, you know, all those kind of fun, geeky vibes. One of the things that I've been looking forward to has been, is it called Atlanta, the new Donald Glover thing? He's made a TV series.
Yes, I think it is. That's really soon, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like out, but I was chatting to, segue, Reggie Yates about this because I interviewed him yesterday and he started watching it and it's like, you have to watch it. And his other two favourite people are Aziz Ansari and Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
So oh my God.
I think we can trust his taste.
Do you think we could persuade Reggie Yates to become a Seriously listener? I mean, he's like 90% of the way there anyway. He likes all the things we like.
Yeah, we can't because then I won't be able to talk to you about the embarrassing incidents in my interview with him yesterday. So we definitely can't try and get him to listen. unless you don't want to hear it.
No, obviously I want to hear.
So I got there and it's like me and the PR waiting for Reggie. She's like, sorry, sometimes he can be a bit late. He wasn't really late. He was like maybe 3 minutes late. And then he walks in. Obviously, Reggie Yates, he's handsome.
So handsome.
He's really handsome. So I was a bit flustered. And then the PR was like, maybe you guys could go into the next room, have your chat, and then I can chat to Reggie after, blah, blah, blah. Which is nice because you don't want to do an interview with the PR sat there. It can be a bit weird. So that was nice for her. And Reggie was like, yep, okay, come on. And we like started walking out the room. He was like, this is like a date, isn't it? It's like a weird chaperone date. And then he shouted to the PR, don't worry, we're not going to snog. And I like burst out laughing. But you know, when you laugh a little too hard, like a weird auntie in Gavin and Stacey. Oh my God, it was so embarrassing. So then I like just continued to be like quite flustered for a lot of the interview. And then at the end, I went for the handshake. He went for the hug. And then because he'd gone for the hug, I went for the kiss on the cheek and I didn't get one back.
Oh my God. That's so embarrassing.
It's
so embarrassing.
But he was a delight to talk to. Otherwise, I just like humiliated myself.
Well, I don't know if this is any comfort, but I can imagine that is not the first time that a woman dealing with Reggie Yates in a professional circumstance has gone in for the kiss
got
on
a
the
little
cheek
bit flustered.
And got a bit flustered.
But yeah, he's really, really, really cool. And I'm excited to write up the interview in a much more professional way than I talked about the interview on Seriously.
Yeah, so we will point you towards that, listeners, when
my
it appears.
My very serious professional interview with Reggie Yates. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it either, especially because now that I know this backstory, I'm going to keep this all in mind while I'm reading your, like, serious chat with him.
Yeah, well, I actually think he's so great and very talented, and we talked about this new documentary he's made called Reggie Yates Chicago, which is about gun crime, particularly among, like, black poor communities in Chicago, and it's really, 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 like, emotional and really difficult to watch, but it's really, really good. And he also mentioned that he's working on drama stuff now.
Really?
Yeah, he's writing and directing.
Ah, so cool.
So I definitely think we're going to keep our eye on Reggie for the foreseeable future, because he's doing loads of really cool things, and just thought he was a great guy. And it's going to be a summer wedding.
And you're all invited.
Lol. Jokes. Okay, so moving very swiftly on, because if he ever hears that, I'll actually die all over again of extreme embarrassment. The first thing we're going to talk about this week is Motherland, a BBC sitcom pilot from Graham Linehan and Sharon Hogan. It revolves around three average parents, working mum Julia, single mum Liz, and stay-at-home dad Kevin, who are desperate to win the approval and the shared childcare of the alpha mums, led by seemingly perfect mother Amanda. It's really funny.
I really liked it. And it stars Anna Maxwell Martin,
who's a secret fave of mine.
Yeah, me too. Like, ever since she was Esther in Bleak House. I've had a lot of time for her. I thought she was the best thing in that otherwise quite boring adaptation of Death Comes to Pemberley that BBC did a few Christmases ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's also, actually, because of that, I've in my head promoted her to my second favourite Lizzie Bennet.
Oh, wow.
So it goes...
Is it Jennifer Ely
Jennifer Ely top.
Hard agree.
Then Anna Maxwell Martin, then the Lizzie from the Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Where's Keira Knightley in
she's
this?
Then like, those are like the main three, and then there are just others.
She's in
the other category. Yeah, so she plays Julia, you know, the kind of hardworking mum who...
Is she married? Is that her... So she's got a...
Guy
a,
from
a
Green
partner,
Wing.
Yeah.
Is who, her
Martin,
husband slash...
Not Martin. What's the... Martin's the curly one, isn't it?
He's, Boise?
Yeah. And she has a husband, or the father of her children is sort of in the picture, but he's like literally there for about 2 seconds, and you immediately get the sense that he's just completely useless.
Yeah. Cool. Because she's having a kind of childcare crisis, and she's on the phone to him while she's in the car with the kids, being like, I have to work today and my mother will not take the children. What can I do? Also, apparently it's half term this week. I didn't know.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And he's just like, most of his mind is on choosing a biscuit or something in a coffee shop. And he's just like, whatever you decide, I'll support you.
Yeah.
But just being totally unhelpful.
Completely useless and quite smarmy. So that's where this programme opens, is with Julia trying to drive her kids to school before she's even realised that there is no school on. There's like traffic light issues and the kids are playing with a Bop-It in the back of the car.
I got so stressed. Got so stressed in those scenes. It was really good writing.
It was, and it just reminded me so much of my mum's stressy moments in the car. There's something about being in the car that can really lead you to a like, ah!
Well,
moment.
I think most of the like serious relationship arguments I've ever had have been
in cars.
Because of cars.
Yeah. I think there is really, so there's a moment where she's like pulling at her seatbelt and like screaming in desperation where you're like, this is definitely where that would happen. Philomena Kunk plays Liz, who is like, she's basically at the moment, her character is just defined by the fact that she's a single mum and all the other mums are like convinced that she's going to sleep with their husbands, which is really funny. And then we get this sort of slightly hapless stay-at-home dad called
Kevin,
slash Keith, Keith at points.
Yeah.
Who I think seems like the kind of guy who would have a competent dad Guardian column.
Yes.
Which is something we've discussed before, the idea that dads get to write a column in the Guardian being like, ooh, lol, have children. What do you do with them? Nappy? What? Whereas obviously women can't do that.
Yeah. So those are, as you say, those are the kind of central trio. And then you've got the kind of mean girl gang. But something I did think was really interesting with this is that it's done with a really light touch, but there is such a class dimension to this.
Absolutely. The freezing food is a really good point in this. So
Liz is a single mum and she lives in a flat, a perfectly fine flat, but a small flat, and she freezes all her food, obviously because she needs to make it last longer, and she's like planning and budgeting in a way that the others are not. And then at a later scene when they end up in Amanda's house for like spag bol for all the kids, it's so like upper middle class. You just know they've got a basement swimming pool under that kitchen somewhere. Kitchen is
they
massive.
They walk into the wrong room when they get there.
Kitchen is massive. It's all white. It's got like shiny, expensive cupboards, all this sort of stuff.
It's like the kitchen from, what was that one we watched? Capital.
Capital, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, so there's, and it's totally unsaid, but it's just very clear that part of the reason why the alpha mums look down on Liz as a potential like sexual threat is because they think she's like a common slapper.
Yeah, basically. definitely. But that, it's also funny that Julia, who is a lot more chaotic than the alpha mums, you can tell that she's more from their world than Liz. Because when she gets to Liz's house, she's a bit confused about the fact that Liz freezes all her food. And then when she gets to the children's party where they're serving spag bol, she really expects to be fed. Like, she's quite a difficult character in that as well. It's not just the alpha mums. Like, she's also got a classist dimension to her.
Yeah, she does. But I think, like all British comedy, as the saying goes, this show is about tiny gradations in class. So really, we're talking here about upper middle class to reasonably affluent working class. That is the tiny range we're operating in. And we've got Liz at the bottom and Amanda at the top, and Julia sits somewhere in the middle. I think she's what Nick Clegg was talking about when he was talking about squeezed middle back in like 2011, you know, from a middle class background, but because of wage stagnation and rising like food prices and stuff, things really aren't as easy for her as she thinks they ought to be.
I thought it was really you know, it is about those like tiny differences between people. And that means that, like a lot of British comedy, it's very about those perceived slights in conversation. A lot of it is about what's left unsaid. Some of the stuff we liked in Fleabag, where it's like very, very pointed conversations. And I found it quite close to the bone sometimes, this programme, in a way that I sort of wasn't expecting, because you see a pilot called like Motherland about stressed out mums, and you sort of think of that like outnumbered vibe, which is very, very family friendly comedy, very, very sort of vaguely farcical, but not actually, there's never any real sort of problems in anyone's lives apart from like if when people are sick and stuff, it's not like everyone's horrible to each other. Whereas in this, I don't think any of the characters are immediately super likable. A lot of it is about power play. I think that that's what was its strength.
Yeah, and I really hope it gets picked up for more episodes, because I really think that they could develop some of the tensions that they've set out in this first episode.
Definitely, and there's so many talents involved, like Graham Linehan, like amazing. Yeah. Sharon Hogan, like all these people are great. I found the cast brilliant. Yeah. I really liked it. I really hope they make it.
Now we're going to talk about 100 Nights of Hero, which is a graphic novel by Isabel Greenberg. It tells the story of the creation of a planet, Early Earth, and two of the women who live on it, Hero and Cherry. In order to keep their love a secret from Cherry's horrible husband and his vile friend, Hero distracts the men with amazing stories of women's history. This is a particularly special one we're doing because Isabel Greenberg is a Seriously listener.
Isn't that so crazy?
Which is so lovely. So she emailed us back at in the beginning of August a really lovely message, which is mostly about how much she likes Gilmore Girls and Harry Potter.
Solid.
And the Argonauts and the Essex Serpent and lots of other things we've talked about on the show. And then she segs in her email into talking about her new book. And she says, I am a graphic novel writer and drawer, and my second book comes out in September. My publisher asked me if there's anyone I'd like them to send a review copy to, and naturally, I thought of Seriously. So thank you very much.
That's
for thinking
really
of us. And she says, even if you don't enjoy the content, it smells fantastic, and the cover has some delightful foil blocking on it. We can confirm this book is a lovely object.
It's gorgeous.
Absolutely delightful, and it does smell lovely.
And also the content we also enjoyed.
We also enjoyed.
Heads up. Spoiler alert.
It's called 100 Nights of Hero, and you can always flog it and give it away or use it as kindling anyway. We won't be doing any of those things. I will be keeping this book.
Yeah, definitely.
And she just quotes a little bit from the kind of blurb that's on the back of the book. It says, "You will read of betrayal, loyalty, madness, bad husbands, lovers both faithful and unfaithful, wise old crones, moons who come out of the sky, musical instruments that won't stay quiet, friends, brothers, fathers, mothers, and above all, many, many sisters." Which I think is a really good summation of this book.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to be talking about a graphic novel by a Seriously listener.
Yeah, not only a great example of women's graphic novel writing that is like exciting and original and just beautiful to look at as well. We'll have to try and link to some pictures of it in the show notes, because you really have to sort of have a little glimpse inside. But yeah, I immediately was so engaged by this book. That's a very good description of the sort of frame narrative between like Cherry and Hero, who are basically this like woman and her maid, but they're in a relationship. And yeah, Cherry gets married to this horrible guy, but the dialogue and everything about their relationship is so funny. Like, she really has nailed that like stupid, arrogant male voice that is there both in Birdman, like the god who has created earlier, or the father of the god who created earlier, and into the sort of idiot husbands and stuff that are circling around a lot of the stories in this book.
Yeah, because the whole structure of this world is that Kiddo, who's the goddess daughter of Birdman, who's like the omnipotent presence of the galaxy, created early Earth, and it was for ages a lovely paradise where all of the humans were happy and had a lot of sex, but Kiddo didn't really mind because it seemed to make them happy. And then Birdman was like, "What is this? Why aren't these people worshipping me? Also, what they're doing is yucky," and imposed this horrible patriarchal societal structure on early Earth. And that is the structure into which Hero and Cherry are born and have to try and live as women who are in love with another woman. Cherry still has to marry this man, and she still has to be subjected to this awful wager in which his friend gets to try and seduce her to test her loyalty.
Yeah, and there's a weird Othello vibe, isn't there, in the beginning, where he's like, "Wait, you know your wife was cheating on you?" And he was like, "No, but someone brought me her knickers and said that there was a scar on her leg." And she was like, "He made me do that. I didn't want to." And I was like, "Lol, no."
And killed her anyway.
Yeah, it's like really, but it is really funny in the reading. It's obviously like really gesturing to this very like dark patriarchal structure, but the humor of it reminded me so much of Kate Beaton, who does these really funny little comics. She does loads of different topics, just like historical topics, but my favorite ones, because I'm like a literature nerd, are the ones that like star James Joyce or Lord Byron, or and they're really, really funny, and they really pin down that sort of like, "What, I'm a genius, why is Mary Shelley here?" tone, which is great. But she sort of brings that into this really layered, mythical, like very, very engaging world that you just, I felt like I'd sort of plunged straight in.
Yeah, and the art style obviously helps with that. You know, there's a very deliberate colour palette. In the book, it's lots of blacks and dark greens and reds and whites, which immediately makes you feel like you're on a different planet and in a different style.
Yeah, or like sat around a campfire and someone's telling a story and you get all these long shadows, and it's all a bit creepy, but very, very, engaging.
And all of the manifestations of the Birdman religion, like the scary men, they wear a kind of Birdman armour with pointed beaks and all this kind of stuff. It's very clearly scary and bad and pointed. As opposed to the interiors where Hero and Cherry live. But so the kind of structure of the whole thing is that there's a Hero is a kind of Scheherazade for this planet, because the way that she keeps Cherry safe from this awful man is that she tells these endless stories every single night and basically talks out the clock until his wager is moot. You know, he can't win it anymore because his time period has expired. But in the course of doing so, she tells all these amazing stories about the women of the planet and all the ways in which they're resisting the awful things that are happening to them.
You know that you feel like you know women like these women, right? Even though that you don't see people in these extreme situations, there's something like familiar and extraordinary about it at the same time, which is what I think feels so nice. And she's obviously just got such a great imagination, because all these stories feel like ones you've heard hundreds of times before. And there are parallels with like fairy stories or folk tales that we all know, but they are different. And I think sometimes the fact that they seem so familiar is actually just a testament to how great her style is, because sometimes they're not at all. They just really feel like they are.
And there's a lot of allusion to other kinds of mythology in it, but only in that sort of magpie way of picking the best bits of lots of different places to make something interesting and new. Yeah, so it's such a delight to read.
Yeah, you've got to read it, guys. Like, genuinely try and get hold of a copy, because it's just so nice.
And I have to say, as I was reading it, I was like, I would also watch this as a film.
Definitely. So, can you imagine?
That would be so beautiful. Oh. It would have such nice music. But as I was reading, I was was like, at this point, there would be this kind of music I was thinking about.
There's obviously, and I think we say this quite a lot when we talk about graphic novels, but the movement is so good in it. She's just got such a great sense, like a cinematic sense of how each shot is all set up. So, yeah, a beautiful read that you've just got to get hold of.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So last week, I recommended that Anna give BuzzFeed's Ladylike videos a go. Anna, what did you think?
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because to go straight into a sort of tangent, it's funny how much I am interested in, like, quote, women's stuff, but also feel a bit conflicted about consuming women's stuff. Like, every time a new women's magazine pops up, you're like, wait, is this sexist? Isn't this a bit weird that you think my interests are, like, beauty and stuff? But then I always really like reading, like, women-helmed, women-aimed stuff as well. So it's one of those things where you're like, oh wait, it's called Ladylike and they do loads of beauty videos, isn't this a bit, you know, isn't that a bit weird? But then they do so much other random stuff that you do just like, because they've actually got their audience down quite well, because it is, like, I would say our age, probably American, but obviously we consume a lot of American culture, interested in beauty and stuff, but also quite keen to make a very wry joke about it and be like, why do my lips feel like a butthole, that kind of thing. So yeah, I watched a random selection of their videos. Weirdly, probably my favorite one, although I haven't been watching their videos from the beginning, was one where they went back and re-watched their first video and sort of analyzed themselves. So their first video was in November of 2015, so it's not even that long ago. And I think me and you know this, that can feel like an age when you're doing sort of regular broadcasty stuff, because you have to settle into it. And I mean, I don't want to go back and listen to our first episodes of, Seriously. At all. So they do watch it and sort of dissect, you know, oh, it's so funny because we weren't actually that good friends at this point, and like, oh look, you know, I'm doing this weird thing, look at my face, or look how pale we all look and tired, and wasn't it 10:30 p.m. when we recorded this? And that was a really good way into their sort of dynamic as a group, and that's, I think, probably the strength of their videos, is friendship and their dynamics together. I didn't immediately learn all their names and stuff. I actually tried to find like a list of who's who, and I couldn't.
Yeah, actually, I feel like BuzzFeed has not served this video thing particularly well, in the sense that it's not its own channel on YouTube. We'll link to the playlist where you can find all their episodes, but it doesn't have its own channel on YouTube. Also, I really struggled to find a page on BuzzFeed where it, like, explains what it is.
Exactly, so did I. I think, you know, tip for BuzzFeed from me and Caroline. Be nice to have almost like a cast list and just a little bit of info about, because you know that they all work at BuzzFeed, but I don't actually know their jobs and stuff, and that might be quite fun.
It'd be really, because I was just keen to know almost from like a media perspective. It's like, how many of them actually work full time on video, mm-hmm. and how many of them are expected to do other stuff as well as produce this?
I mean, this is probably quite a nerdy media angle from me and you, but I would have liked to have been able to find that out.
And if they do also write things or make other video series, I'd like to know what they are. You know, I just want more background.
And right, so one of them is Jen Lewis.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I couldn't tell which one it was. If it was, so, do you know, just things like that I was like, wait, I've definitely read a lot of your articles, but I don't know if this is you, because you can't really tell just from one avatar and blah blah blah. But yeah, so I think their friendship is really really watchable and really funny, and they're all quite good at like that come and get it guys sort of jokey we're making fools of ourselves tone. They've sort of got that down.
I also really like that the style of a lot of the videos is to take quite a popular YouTube topic, so like trying out a new makeup thing or a new celebrity fitness wear thing, but then do it in a very accessible way, both in the sense that they will try it out on people of all shapes and sizes and skin tones and stuff, but also they'll like wear it all day and then say how it was, rather than the more classic YouTube beauty tutorial where it's like, look, I put on this makeup in my bedroom with great lighting, doesn't it look great, the end, rather
because
than
it's
like,
in their interest to build themselves up as like,
whereas this is like, we tried out these like weird lip stain things, I wore it all day and look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, I love it when they do a little like segment that they filmed on their phones, because it's like, yeah, I went out to get lunch with my friend and look, all the lipstick came off on his burrito when I tried a bit, like,
yeah exactly. Those are the best things about this, is their accessibility and how much you relate to them and enjoy watching them relate with each other. There were a couple of videos where I was like, oh, I'm actually interested in this. Like, as a big Kardashian fan, I was genuinely like, oh, they've done two on Kylie Jenner lip kits. So I watched both of those immediately. So it's funny where the crossover suddenly happens, because as I was trying to say, like, the problem with like women's interest stuff is that you sort of have to throw a lot out there, and maybe a lot of it won't be of interest to people, but then if you like the women doing it and you think they're funny and you want to see more of them, it doesn't matter. And then occasionally you get one where you're like, wait, no, I really fucking want to know about that lipstick. So it was I loved that combo. And yeah, I definitely think I would, especially if they do more ones that I'm like, oh yeah, that enters my very specific sphere of interests, I'll definitely be watching all of those.
So what are you going to recommend me for next time?
So the thing that I'm going to recommend to you this week is one that I haven't seen, which I know is sort of technically cheating, but we're very busy, guys, okay? So just let us have this one.
Also, you spotted this and I hadn't even heard of it, so I think it counts.
And it's not out yet, so I can't. I mean, by the time we come to re-record next week, it will have been out for a little while, but we record on a Tuesday and it's not out yet. It's out tonight. It's a Netflix short documentary, and it's called Extremists. It's 24 minutes long, which is an unusual sort of, because it's not quite like, you know, so short that you could just like watch it at your computer, but it's not.
Also, I feel an unusual length for Netflix, because generally Netflix uses the fact that they don't have a regular TV schedule to like let people go as long as they need for stuff.
Exactly. But they must have, I assume it's a situation where they've seen it at some sort of festival and snapped it up. But yeah, so it's called Extremists, and it's about end of life care in the US, which I imagine will be very different to end-of-life care in the UK because of just the vast differences in the healthcare system. So it's something I know absolutely nothing about. I'm sure it's going to be an extremely heavy one, so hope it's not too depressing. But I'm just interested to see what it's about and how they've handled that topic. So, I'm interested in all of Netflix's sort of experimental output, and it's just another one for us to add to, you know, our mounting backlog of Netflix watches. Thanks for listening to Seriously, the pop culture podcast from The New Statesman. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to Seriously. All you have to do is search SRSLY in iTunes or any other podcasting app you use. While you're there, it would be really great if you could leave us an iTunes review, as it helps other people find the show.
We also rely on you listeners for your recommendations. So if you want to tell us what you thought about something, or if you've got something we should watch, you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, via email. All the details are on seriouslypodcast.com. If you like, you can also recommend us to your friends, family, neighbours, strangers. Let them know that you like the podcast and they should be listening to it too.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.